Our text for this morning comes from the gospel lesson, especially these words. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" This is our text. You may be seated. Invitations come in many shapes and sizes. Sometimes when we receive an invitation in the mail, it is a surprise. Sometimes we're waiting for an invitation to come in the mail that never comes. You may receive an invitation to a birthday party, retirement party, a music recital, a church event, countless other activities. And the point is that the person doing the inviting would like you to come to the event. Typically, the inviter also has something to do with hosting or planning for the event. And when you receive the invitation, it's sort of up to you to decide whether to go or not. Some things you may be more obligated to attend than others, of course. But think about it a little more closely. Your deciding to go to the event or not doesn't change the fact that the event is happening, does it? If you decide not to go, you're still invited. The event is still open to you. On the other hand, you wouldn't even be able to go to the event unless you were invited, short of crashing the party. Our gospel lesson is packed with all kinds of theologically important ideas this morning, but the one I want to focus on is this idea of invitation. Here in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus invites Peter to do something. The invitation is one little word. Come. Come. Now what Christ is inviting Peter to do with that one little word is, of course, quite extraordinary. This is no typical party invitation. Jesus is inviting Peter to simply break the natural laws of physics, as Jesus himself has just done, and walk on top of water. Now, when the disciples saw Jesus doing that very same thing, they were terrified. Jesus has to reassure them with the words, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." But Peter wants a little more proof. Actually, I think they probably all wanted a little more proof, but as usual, Peter is the only one willing to say anything. Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the waters." And in response, Jesus utters one simple word, "Come." What do you think would have happened if Jesus had said something different, like, "No, Peter, you just stay in the boat. I don't want you to drown. It's okay. Just you stay there." In that case, Peter wouldn't have even attempted this perilous trek across the top of the water. The invitation that Jesus gave, even though it was just one little word, "come," the invitation literally created the faith in Peter to do what Jesus had just done and what Jesus said he could do. Likewise, if you or I told any sane, rational person, "Just come here, walk on the water to me, it'll be fine," they wouldn't do it. It's doubtless that our words would not convey the same authority that Jesus' words did in the same situation. Peter must have been thinking, if Jesus says I can walk on the water to him, it must be so. So he walked. Actually, it sounds like he made it pretty far. It sounds like he made it all the way to Jesus. But then he began to sink. Why did Peter sink? Was Jesus' invitation not strong enough for Peter to make it all the way there? Did the power of God not work quite enough in this situation? It's kind of like receiving a party invitation and deciding not to go. Maybe you think the party won't be very good, or maybe there won't be anybody there that you like, or maybe the party won't even happen. Maybe you don't have faith that the fun-looking invitation will actually lead to a good time at the party. Peter, seeing the winds and the waves around him, suddenly no longer trusted the invitation that he had been given. He saw the terrible storm, the waves, the wind, and he doubted. He doubted Christ's invitation. And he began to sink. Did he sink because he had lost all faith in our Lord? Had he really lost all of his faith in Jesus? We know that we are invited to step out in faith, invited by God, but the storms of life often crowd out that faith, the busyness of life, terrible things happening in our world, coronavirus. We have seen Christ take care of us in the past. We have seen him at work in our lives throughout our whole lives, and yet we still doubt. It's like Peter making it all the way, walking on the water to Jesus, and then the doubt begins to creep in. He made it all that far. Why couldn't he make it a few more steps? We doubt that God can really take care of us. We doubt that no matter what our circumstances, no matter what's happening in our lives, that God is actually working out all things for our good. We may even doubt that our sins are forgiven by the death and resurrection of Christ. It is during those times that we may cry out. When sickness presses in, when a loved one is dying, when the physical pain or the emotional pain seems unbearable, we, like Peter, may cry out, "Lord, save me." But this plea from Peter is not the cry of a person who has no faith. Notice he doesn't cry out to the other disciples. He doesn't say, "Hey, James, throw me a rope." Peter still has this faith that if nothing else can save him, the Lord can. And of course, Christ does. Peter receives salvation, literally the rescuing from imminent death by Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus doesn't tell Peter he has no faith at all. But even in his doubting, Peter's little faith turned to the only one who could actually help him. His faith turned him to Christ. May it be the same with us. Yes, there are times when the sin of doubt creeps into our minds, but the faith that God has planted in your heart, even if it is just but a little faith, it still cries out to God for help. "Lord, save me." It's interesting, there are several places in Scripture where Jesus talks about how little faith the disciples had. Really talking about how little faith we have. One time, when the disciples were unable to cast out a particular demon, they asked Jesus why they were unable to do this. And Jesus replied, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." I think the point is not to put down the disciples or even to put us down or even to spur us into some kind of action to try to go out and get more faith, as if that were possible on our own. The point of Jesus saying this is to draw our attention back to him. No matter what little spark of faith we might have with which we trust in our Lord, that faith is saving, not because of the faith, because it's Jesus doing the saving. We don't have faith in faith. We have faith in our Lord. it is Christ who saves. Even though our faith is tinier than a mustard seed, and I think it probably is because I haven't seen any mountains moving around out there, it's enough. It's enough because of the one who created the faith. It's enough because of the one in whom that faith trusts. It's enough because Jesus' promises are strong even when our faith is weak. Oftentimes, I think we talk too much about faith, not that it's not a good thing, but lots of people will say something to you like, oh, you just have to have faith. But faith in what? Faith in yourself? Faith that the world's just going to get better somehow? Christian faith is different. Christian faith is what clings to Christ, what trusts in God alone, because it is Christ that does the saving. It is God that does the protecting. Faith, albeit little faith, called out to Jesus for salvation. But it was Jesus that did the saving. Peter would have had no faith at all to walk on the water unless Jesus had said, come. You see, we must not point others to themselves or even to their faith. Rather, we point others and we must be reminded ourselves of Christ's invitation, the invitation that Jesus gives to us. Come, come to me, all who you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This very invitation creates the faith that trusts the promises of Christ. You may recall the parable of the wedding feast. A king is throwing a great feast for his son. He invites his friends and his relatives and all the dignitaries, and nobody shows up. And he tells his servants to go and invite anyone you can find. The wedding hall was full of guests. Jesus invites us to his wedding feast, which is right here. It is the church. It is the feast of his son's body and blood on the altar. Jesus is always giving us an invitation to come, to hear him, an invitation to faith. The entire scripture is God's invitation to you and to those who do not believe, an invitation to repent, to receive his forgiveness. The word of God is the invitation to come. And that very word, that very invitation, creates the faith that allows us to trust it. It's an invitation to come to Jesus, to receive rest, to have our spiritual thirst quenched. God is inviting us to read and to study his word, inviting us to come together as the body of Christ, inviting his church through the waters of holy baptism, inviting us to this altar. Come, says Christ, come to me and find what your body and what your soul needs. We rejoice in this gracious invitation of our Lord, the invitation that comes through Jesus' death and resurrection, the invitation that's delivered to you in your baptism to be his people now and forever. May we, like Peter, reach out in faith to our Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.